In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, or Adam, then Eve, depending on which version of Genesis you prefer.
Or Adam and Steve, depending on which version of the Bible you prefer.
And he placed them in a paradise, which all their needs were met.
Except, of course, ones they were unaware of.
And he only gave them one rule, and that they were not to eat the fruit from a particular tree. Then a supposed serpent tempted Eve into biting the fruit, and then she, in turn, tempted Adam.
Hey, this is pretty good. I want some more.
What type of fruit? It's unclear. But once they did eat it of this fruit, they became aware of their nakedness. They became aware of good and evil. And this awareness was a punishment. They had eaten from the tree of knowledge. And to know is to suffer. The moral of the story? Ignorance is bliss. In the beginning, a tremendous amount of energy came together, and after reaching a critical speed, it became matter. And this matter was so intense that the energy contained in it burst forth, and the universe has been expanding away and created all kinds of particles that became larger and larger and creating planets and stars and galaxies and our universe, which because of the power at the beginning is still spreading apart today, albeit more slowly. And it's theorized that eventually it'll reach a point where the energy no longer pushes it apart, and then it is going to pull back together due to gravity and reform a singularity, that center ball of matter and energy, and it'll explode forth again and create a universe.
No, that's not right.
The universe is continuing to expand, and it's actually going faster now.
If these celestial bodies continue on the course as they are, eventually they're going to begin approaching the speed of light. Once they reach the speed of light, we will no longer be able to detect them, for they'll be moving away from us at the same rate of speed that the light would be coming towards us. So regardless of our telescope power, they will not even be able to detect them. And we won't know what's going on in the universe.
As if we have a very good understanding as it is. All I know is this fruit is delicious. I mean, seriously.
Funny. Not funny in this
even
kind of very disturbing.
Time.
Oh, isn't that funny?
There's no problem with the podcast.
There's a problem with me listening to the podcast.
Jamie, you asshole.
you feel it?
So I was just listening about the abuse scandal of Penn State, sexual abuse of children. They were talking about institutions and institutional pride. Makes it so people don't want to see when things go wrong or when things are occurring that they wish wouldn't happen. And I can't help but think about the United States as an institution. And the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. People's unwillingness to admit mistakes because of their dedication to the institution. The police treatment of the OWS protesters, or just the Occupy movement in general. See our government officials, particularly Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, most of conservatives in Congress, not having a comment when peaceful people are being pepper sprayed
in other countries
and bloodied by police officers for simply trying to exercise their rights to free speech.
There's plenty of people that condemn the violence against peaceful protesters.
I think this is another example of institutional pride.
And institutional pride, once again, appears to be making it difficult for people to acknowledge what is occurring in their own backyard, their own homeland. There are institutions they don't want to recognize what's happening. Fortunately, there are enough people that are willing to make noise. Fortunately, they have to be physically injured before they can elicit enough sympathy to inspire people to make real change. Send money to the OWGA.
You can hear them as they approach.
I gotta go back.
specifically. Specifically, God, I was twirling around in my head. Specifically, specifically. Got all this stuff twirling around in my head.
Voices bearing words
filter through the walls of mind, making impressions while leaving meaning behind.
I'm going to go with your first.
data flow. Feel the river embrace you. That's how you'll know. Hey, this is Frederick's Newport Ritchie. Thanks for dipping your brain into my data stream. I hope you take away something useful, or at least pleasurable, or ponderable.